Morning again. Brother Jack, I hope I didn't distract you, but I found out my batteries were dead on my mic, and I had to go back there and get some. Good morning again, and welcome to God's house. I also want to mention today that a friend of mine, you know, people are sick everywhere. Brother Franklin DeMond, they live in Mount Vernon, Indiana. Brother Franklin's been battling cancer for a few years, and now his wife has it. And remember them. He worked for the denomination. I've known him for over 30 years, and way back in the council days, and then he worked for the denomination. So just remember there's a lot of people sick in all of our churches, and try to pray for all of them as we can. Amen. How are you feeling today? Good, good. Well, it's a good day to be alive. Amen. And in Tennessee, who used to say that? Charlie Daniels. It's a good day to be alive and in Tennessee. It's a good day to be alive and to be at Sandy Point. And it is my good pleasure to be here in a position to deliver God's word unto his people. And I do not take that lightly. Sometimes you may think of some of the preaching he does, he don't spend a lot of time in it, but I try to, and I do take it very serious that God would direct me to a message that is to us today. And you know, you're speaking to God's people, you know. God's people. What does God have to say to us today? And what does he have to say to a lost and dying world? Through us all. Amen? We all participate in that. I want to be reading a parable of Jesus in the Gospel of St. Luke today. And we want to talk about, as God's people today, how do we view ourselves before God and before man? What do I think about myself when I think about standing before God? What do I think about myself in my interactions with my fellow men? You know, how much do I think about myself? How do I conduct my personal life? And how do I feel about standing before God? Think about that. How do we view ourselves today? Luke chapter 18, verses 9 through 14. And he spake this parable unto certain which trusted in themselves that they were righteous and despised others. Two men went up into the temple to pray, the one a Pharisee, the other a publican. The Pharisee stood and prayed thus within himself, God, I thank thee that I am not as other men are, extortioners, unjust, adulterers, or even as this publican. I fast twice in the week, I give tithes of all that I possess. And the publican, standing afar off, would not so lift up so much as his eyes unto heaven, but smote himself upon his breast, saying, God be merciful unto me, a sinner. I tell you, this man went down to his house justified rather than the other. For every one that exalteth himself shall be abased, and he that humbleth himself shall be exalted. Verse number 11 again, the Pharisee stood with and prayed thus within himself, God, I thank thee that I'm not as other men are, extortioners, unjust, adulterers, or even as this publican. He views himself. He had a pretty good opinion of himself, didn't he? Let's pray. Lord, thank you for your word today. We pray that you'd bless the word. We pray for the power and the presence of the Holy Spirit. Lord, build the church today. Edify believers, dear Lord, and help us in our Christian faith. I pray if there be unbelievers among us, or even who are listening and watching from afar, that today, dear Lord, the Holy Spirit would convict them of that state of lostness, and they would desire to come to know you and to be saved today. Lord, I pray that you would save the lost who are here today. In fact, Lord, build the church in your kingdom. In Jesus' name, amen. How do we view ourselves? This parable is directed, it says, to certain which trusted in themselves that they were righteous and despised others. You know, we're called to despise and hate the sin, but not the people. The Pharisees often ran away with Jesus, you know, and he used the Pharisees at times to teach, and of course the publicans too. The Pharisees were strict in the law. They adhered to the law. They were impressive, and they kind of enjoyed being impressive and looked up to in society as being strict, you know, by their appearance, the way they looked, and recognized as one being strict and doing all these things. So to the public, they were impressive, and that is the Jewish society. However, they weren't too impressive to those who were without, you know. But anyhow, often Jesus would say about these people, they have their reward. You know, that's what they want. They want to be so respected before people and to given high positions in society and to be looked upon as being devout of keepers of the law and all these things. And he said, you know what? That's what they want, and that's what they got. But it's all they're going to get. Verily, verily, I say unto you, they have their reward. Now, why we want part of our reward here, the Holy Spirit, is what? A down payment of the prized possession. We want that. But the best is yet to come. You know, the best is yet to come. There are blessings in this life, but we want the full reward at the end of the way. Strict. They felt pretty good. How do you view yourselves before God? Well, they viewed themselves as being pretty good shape before God. This old boy, you know, he says, I'm impressive. I have the works. I do all of these things. Let me tell you something. God doesn't need to be reminded of what we've done. He knows. He knows all about us. He does. But he feels in a position here to just remind God of just how good a shape I am here. Why? I'm thankful, first of all, that I'm not as other men. You know, often when you witness, sometimes the people say, well, I'm not as bad as so-and-so. That's not the standard, I hate to tell you. You know, if we're trying to judge ourselves but not being as bad as somebody else, that doesn't get it. That doesn't get it. So the Pharisee here says, I'm thankful, first of all, that I'm not as... I'm better than him. You ever heard people tell you that? Well, I'm not perfect, but I'm not as bad as some people, you know. We justify ourselves by trying to find somebody who maybe is in a worse state than we are. I'm not as other men. You know, there's some extortioners out there, adulterers. And by the way, even this publican here, Jesus used the publicans many times as teaching points. A publican. Who is he? He is the scoundrel of the Jewish life there in that day. You know, he is a turncoat. He is a tax collector. He's collaborating with the Roman authorities. He's collecting taxes and giving it to the Romans. Nobody likes the oppression of the Roman Empire. Nobody likes paying taxes now. A lot of people are up in air about our water bills going up and taxes going up. You might as well get ready for that. That's part of it. That's not going to end. Nobody likes to pay taxes. Never have, and tax collectors generally are not perceived, especially in this culture, where he is a Jew, but he's actually excommunicated. Why, to turn against your own people and to collect tax from good God-fearing Jewish people and turn it in to these Roman oppressors, you know, that is a scoundrel. And they weren't welcome in society. They were looked down upon, you know, but Jesus used them, you know. In fact, he called one of them as a disciple. Matthew was a publican at the seat of custom when he called him to join the team. Aren't you glad today that Jesus calls us to join the team, no matter where we come from, what we've been doing? He changes our lives and welcomes us on the team. On the team. Pharisees thought pretty good of themselves. Well, maybe I'm not. I am pretty impressive. I want to remind you of all that I've been doing. And, you know, they had the certain way they dressed, and they liked to have the attention wherever they went in public, and they would make long-standing prayers. They were impressive. Some of these scribes and some of these people that said could quote the scriptures backwards, they were impressive. But they forgot some of the weightier matters of the law. You know, they had no compassion. They had no compassion. They had no humility. You know, they weren't humble at all. They, in fact, how do we view ourselves? Well, even before God, they felt pretty, well, I'm pretty good shape. I must be. Here's the proof. Here's what I've been doing. I'm better than him. How do we view ourselves? These people. A little bit more about the Pharisees. The Gospel of Matthew chapter 3, we talk about the ministry of John the Baptist. These people ran away with him too. But they did come out there to see what was going on, because there was a movement of God and people were actually going out there from Jerusalem, Judea, and all around. They were going out there to hear this wilderness preacher who looked a bit like a wild man, preaching a fiery message of repentance and baptizing, calling people to be baptized. And so people were drawn. Why did they go? Because the Spirit of God was drawing people out there. And John is commissioned with a mission here to do the best he can to get people ready for the coming of the Messiah. And Jesus comes on the scene shortly and begins preaching essentially what John did at first. The kingdom of God is at hand. Repent and believe the gospel. But anyhow, as the common people came out there and heard John and accepted his message of repentance, trying to get them ready for the coming of the Son of God, get ready. There's one coming here. The Bible says that these religious leaders, you had two parties in Jewish society, the Pharisees, who are the strict, boy, they are strict. And you had the Sadducees, who are actually maybe the more powerful. They control the high priest. And between these two groups, they make up the Supreme Court or the Sanhedrin. They are what we would call the powers that be. They make the decisions in religious life and in a lot of public life in this day. They begin to come out there to see what was going on, but not to participate, but to view from afar, to observe what is going on. Something is going on. They witnessed it, observed it, but they did not submit to it. They did not. Matthew chapter 3 and verse 5, the gospel here reads, "Then went out to him," to John, where he's baptizing, "Jerusalem and all Judea and all the region round about Jordan." There are a lot of people came to John to hear his message of repentance. There was a lot of people who submitted to his baptism. The Pharisees and the Sadducees weren't included in that. But when he saw many of the Pharisees and the Sadducees come to his baptism, but he noticed something about them. He saw them coming, but he noticed that they weren't participating. They come to church, but they didn't participate. They just came to look to find fault, to see what they could find wrong with this. Checking it out. They came with no sense of urgency, of being drawn by the Spirit of God. They had no sincerity. They've come there with bad intentions, trying to find something fault in John and his message, trying to find something that they could hold over the people coming to this and to give answer to these people. There went out to see him all these, but when he saw the Pharisees and Sadducees come to his baptism, he said unto them, "O generation of vipers, who hath warned you to flee from wrath to come?" Snakes, he called them, and vipers. These are the well-respected dudes of religious society, the well-looked upon, the perfect men here, Pharisees, Sadducees, the ruling party. And John the Baptist called them snakes. And he says, he knew they came out there with bad intentions. He said, "Who's warned you to flee from wrath to come? Bring forth, therefore, fruits meet for repentance." Well, what do we have to repent of? What call of repentance is it on us? We are the chosen ones. We are the Pharisees, the Sadducees. We compiled the Supreme Court. We are the Sanhedrin. We are the public looks up to us. Everybody recognizes us that we are the stuff in religious society. We are God's people here, you know. Bring forth fruits meet for repentance. And think not to say within yourselves, "We have Abraham to our father. For I say unto you that God is able of these stones to raise up children unto Abraham." We are heirs according to Abraham. "Not any longer," John said. "And now also the axe is laid to the root of the tree. Therefore, every tree which bringeth forth not good fruit is hewn down and cast into the fire." Don't make that claim anymore, you know. You got to bring forth fruits meet for repentance. "I indeed baptize you with water unto repentance, but there is one coming. And you guys better get ready for it. There's one who's coming after me, is mightier than thy, whose shoes I'm not worthy to bear. He shall baptize you with the Holy Ghost and with fire." You know, he's going to change your life. You know, you must be born again. You know, something's got to happen to you. "Whose fan is in his hand, and he will thoroughly purge his floor and gather the wheat into his garner, but will burn up the chaff with unquenchable fire. Who has warned you to flee?" Well, you can imagine they didn't take to that very well. Calling us snakes, vipers, in full view and witness of all the people. He knew their intention. John the Baptist, he didn't mince words, by the way. John accepted his ministry, the forerunner of Jesus Christ, and he knew when Christ comes on the scene, I got to fade away. He didn't mince word with Herod when he told him, you know, what you're doing is wrong. You have your brother's wife. And, of course, that wound up getting him beheaded. But he didn't care. His mission was to prepare the people as best he could for the coming of Jesus. And he told these Pharisees and Sadducees, you snakes, you're vipers. Who's warned you to flee? He knew that they didn't feel any need for repentance. They felt pretty good shape. They had a pretty good view of themselves. They really did. One of the things about being a Christian is that sometimes we know that the world views us as maybe being a little bit like Pharisees, thinking that we think a little bit too much for ourselves, that maybe we have a little bit of holier than thou mentality. How do we mesh with that? If you remember, and I believe you do, a few weeks ago, we preached on the subject of it's dangerous trying to blend in. So we have to temper this thing. We can't stoop to the standards of the world trying to fit in, trying to make them think that we're not that different from them when we really are. They're never going to like you. It helps to keep in mind that they crucified your Lord and my Lord. Peter tried to fit in, then out of the betrayal, you know, I don't know him. Aren't you one of them? No, I'm one of y'all. It doesn't work when God's people try to fit in. So we have to mesh not being perceived by this holier-than-thou mentality as not trying to fit in. Say, hey, we're not that different. We are different. So how do we do that? We must maintain humility. We don't lower our standards. We don't view ourselves as being better than anybody else. We don't view ourselves as being impressive, and we don't stand before the mirror and remind God of what we have done this week. I prayed so many minutes. I read the Bible this week. I've done all this. Maintain humility before God and man. In the Gospel of Luke chapter 7, verses 28, 29, and 30, Jesus talks a little bit more about John and his interaction with the Pharisees. I say unto you, among those that are born of women, there has not been a greater prophet than John the Baptist, but he that is least in the kingdom of God is greater than he. And all the people that heard him and the publicans justified God being baptized with the baptism of John. A lot of people participated in John's message and were baptized to him. But, not all of them, but the Pharisees and the lawyers rejected the counsel of God against themselves being not baptized. And why did he do that? Because they had a pretty good view of them. They had a pretty good opinion of themselves. They felt no need to be baptized. They rejected the counsel of God. They did not participate. Now these common people submitted and obeyed John's message, were baptized, but not these impressive religious people. They rejected the counsel of God against themselves being not baptized of him. They didn't submit to it. And the simple reason was, they didn't feel any need to. We feel pretty good about our position with God. And we don't have any need to repent and to be baptized. And they didn't participate. They viewed themselves as being righteous with God. But they were wrong. Within themselves, they had this feeling that we're in pretty good shape against people. Did you know that they didn't have any time for those who were outside? They didn't go around trying to help the publicans. They didn't go around trying to help the harlots, the outcasts of the day, the Samaritans. these type of people, that they were beneath them. You know, and they viewed themselves as better. One of the reasons that Israel fell, I remember a long time ago here, one of our elderly deacons, a godly man who passed away many years ago, Brother Lillard Turner, told me something back there at the back of the church. We were discussing something about the Bible and Israel, and he said, "Yeah, but remember, Brother Mike, Israel failed." And they did. One of the reasons they failed was because they had too good of opinion of themselves, and they thought they were better. They were called to be a light unto the whole world and to be an example of what God's people could be if they live according to the law of God on this earth. And they took that privilege too far and began to think that we're really the only people God loves and we are better than them. Never think that you are better than anybody else. That's one of the reasons Israel failed, that and idolatry and other things. But we don't need that to be a part of our thinking, that we are better than others. Matthew chapter 17, verses 7 through 9. Jesus tells a little quick story here about a servant and about our position. What is our position in this thing? We have to remember that we are just servants. Christ is the head of the church. We are just privileged to be servants. We need to know what our role is and not overstep it. Luke 17:7, "But which of you, having a servant, plowing or feeding cattle, will say to him by and by when he has come from the field, 'Go and sit down to meat'? And wilt thou rather not say unto him, 'Make ready wherewith I may sup, and gird thyself, and serve me till I have eaten and drunken, and afterwards shall thou eat and drink?' Doth he thank that servant because he did the things that were commanded of him? I told not, or I think not, or I believe not. So likewise ye, when ye have done all those things which are commanded you, say, 'We are unprofitable servants, and have done that which was our duty.'" Wow, we don't have anything to brag about, do we? Hey, listen, folks, when we do the very best we have done and can do, we've only done that which is our duty, and we're unprofitable servants. That's talking about maintaining a humility as we serve God and understand what our role is in this thing. We're just blessed to be here. I realize every Sunday I am blessed to be here. When I was called to preach, it was something else. It was a life-changing calling. It was an awesome experience. And I really thought for 2 weeks it would kill me. I thought, I cannot do this. I will die. You know, I thought about, what am I going to do whenever I have to preach a funeral or get called to preach somewhere? But now I've learned I don't have to do this. I get to. At first I thought I had to, and I did. But now I've come to appreciate I don't have to do this. I get to do this. What a privilege it is to be able to take God's word and to speak it unto His people. It is a wonderful experience. We have done nothing to brag about. When we do the best we can, I don't keep good records. Brother Greer and other ones told me when I started preaching, you know, they done a better job than I did. But I didn't, because I don't know. Just something about me thought, I don't want to maybe let that be a temptation for me to have something to brag about. Look what all I've done and all. I've got boxes of sermon notes and I don't know how many of these notebooks that I've been using. I picked this up from Brother Larry Reno many years ago. He always had that little notebook with his outline, and I started doing it. I don't know how many of them I have, but I don't really keep records. So you must forgive me if I don't have a record of your baptism. We may have it here in the church, but I don't keep up with all the funerals I do. I remember most of the weddings, but I just didn't want that to ever be a temptation to me to be able to say, well, here's all that I've done. When I have done nothing, when we have done the very best that we can, we are unprofitable servants. I have only done that which was our duty, humility. I learned very early that I had to have humility. I had to. 1 Timothy, there was a Pharisee who was one of the strictest, and we know him as St. Paul. But he used to be a Pharisee. He was strict. And he spent his life so passionate. And when the Christian movement come around, he felt passion against it, being a Pharisee, and he had anger about him. He had anger. He wanted to do harm and did harm Christians, the cause of Christ, went about locking them up, participated in some of them's death, made probably many of them recant, renounce their faith, all of these things. He was a bitter man. But once he met Jesus, he was changed. And down deep inside of Paul, there was something wrong. Something wrong that keeping all the Pharisaic laws and all that stuff couldn't fix. He was not at peace with God. No siree, he wasn't. He was not a happy man. And he's just out against people and he's fighting out, you know. But something is broken in Paul. And that something got fixed when he met Jesus on the road to Damascus. And he's a changed man. He's a changed man. And I want you to know, if you're here today or listening and there's something broken in you, it can be fixed. Amen? Amen. An experience of grace in Jesus Christ can fix your heart. Religion can't fix it. It couldn't fix Paul. He kept all the laws. He was strict. He adhered to all of it. He knew the law. He went to all the schools. He knew it all. His theology was right in that society, but he was broken, miserable inside, acting out the only way he knew how to. And Jesus said, "Why are you fighting me so? You're fighting a losing battle, and you are here today too, if you're against Christ." Paul would say these words in 1 Timothy 1 and 15. This is a faithful saying, and this is after he becomes a great missionary, man of God, establishing churches, going into the Gentile region. You know, Paul carries the gospel worldwide. This is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptations, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief. Let us not forget from where we come from, Remember your humble beginnings. Remember that we were all once lost like these broken sinners out here. We're all sinners. And we all need to be saved. Paul said, Jesus came to save sinners, of whom I am chief. Hey, if He could save me, He can save anybody. Amen? And then He would say, finally, He talked about His inner struggles. Romans chapter 7, verses 18 through 25. For I know that in me, that is, my flesh, dwelleth no good thing. How do we view ourselves? An older preacher told me a long time ago, and I think I read it in books too, for young preachers. When people compliment your preaching, say thank you and accept it and go on, but don't digest it. Because that can be deadly. Can be intoxicating. And Paul says, I know that in me, that is my flesh, dwelleth no good thing, for to will is present with me, but how to perform that which is good, I find not. Are you ever frustrated in your Christian life? Sure we are. And some days, we don't fare so well. Some days we struggle. For the good that I would, I do not. But you ever say, so I wish I hadn't said that. You ever pass by somebody and say, I wish I'd have stopped and spoken. I'd turn around and went back and they'd be gone. Boy, that's frustrating, isn't it? For the good that I do not. But the evil which I would not, that I do. Despite ourselves and our best efforts. Some days are tough, aren't they? Now if I do that, I would not. It is no more I that do it, but sin that dwelleth in me. I find then a law that when I would do good, evil is present. For I delight in the law of God after the inward man, but I see another law in my members. I know who I really am. Another law in my members, warring against the law of my mind and bringing me into captivity of the law of sin, which is in my members. And then he said, oh me. Listen to this. Oh wretched man that I am. Paul, how do you view yourself before God and man? And he said, oh wretched man that I am. Who shall deliver me from the body of this death? Wow. Hey, we're all going to fail and come short at times of the glory of God. Maintain your humility. How are we going to make it? There's nowhere to quit and to give up. There is hope. Listen to this next verse. I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord. When Satan comes at you, when we often fail, when we disappoint, tell him and tell yourself, I am a Christian. Be acquainted with that phrase. Be able to say it. I am a Christian. Doesn't mean that we're perfect in this life. Maintain a humility. Always view yourself as who we are. Who am I? It's good to be encouraged. And we need Christian fellowship, which is an encouragement. Come together as God's people and to encourage each other. Know that others are praying for you. People that you don't even know about are praying for you. It's good to have that, isn't it? But we also need to maintain a certain amount of humility about us. Think about, no matter how good, you know, we have not accomplished anything. When we do our very best, we've just done that we're supposed to do. That's just our duty. Why should I be recognized? I've only done my duty. You know, Other than that, I'd just be considered an unprofitable servant, only doing that which is my duty. Oh, wretched man that I am. Who's going to deliver me? Jesus Christ. I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord. So then, with the mind, I myself serve the law of God, but with the flesh, the law of sin. But Jesus is there to help us. Amen. So how do we perceive ourselves? You know, again, it's tougher maybe for younger people. You want to be accepted by the world somewhat. But keep in mind, the world is never going to accept you. You don't want to be accepted as one of theirs. And if you were one of theirs, they would love you. They crucified your Lord. We are different. We can never be on the level of the world. How do we gain their respect and not come across as being, oh, he's holier than thou? Well, a conversation is a starting place. A conversation, and keep it holy, not holier than thou, but keep it above this world. Interact with them, and they will see that you're not so bad, that you're not so bad, and sometimes it takes time, you know, but maintain humility. Never have an air about you that we look down at. I'm glad I'm not that guy. You know, I'm not much, but I'm better than him. How do we view ourselves before God? I'm just a sinner, saved by grace through faith in our Lord Jesus Christ. The prophet said in the Old Testament, how are we to conduct ourselves? He has showed thee, O man, what is good. What is good? And what doeth the Lord require thee but to do justly, to love mercy, and to walk humbly with thy God? The message, I guess, today maybe is primarily to the church. It's about our interactions to the world. It's about our attitude. It's about that we not get caught up and be guilty of the Pharisee's sins, and that is thinking too highly of ourselves, trusting the Spirit of God to help us to mesh where do we balance out, not trying to come off as being perceived holier than thou, but yet not stooping to the sins of the world. How do we love the sinner and hate the sin? It's doable. Jesus done it. He reached out to the outcast, the publicans, the sinners, the harlots. He was able to reach out to the Samaritans, to all groups of people, and we can too. So how do you view yourself today? Think about it. Are we guilty at times of reminding God of our accomplishments? Do we look down upon other people? Do we remember the words of St. Paul and say, oh, wretched man that I am. I used to be like that. Do we say, there is a terrible guy right there, or lady. Do we say that, or do we say, you know what, there, but for the grace of God, walk I. Brother Danny, I want you to come. We're going to have a song of decision today. If God has touched your heart and you need to come forth and pray publicly before the Lord today, if you need to be saved, if you want this salvation that comes in Jesus, this salvation that changed Paul into a different creature, this salvation that changed all of God's people, that's available today. God can change you. You can be saved today. If there's any need among us today, we want to give you an invitation to come. We'd be glad to pray for you. Would you stand together today while Brother Danny leads us in the song?
Before.